Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear. And we're going to talk about a couple of quick subjects today. One is, I think men need to understand it's okay to say no, even though a lot of people around you will not like it. And the other thing is understanding something about training when it comes to what you're training your body to do. Before we get into subjects, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have full line of trapping supply stuff. They have fishing stuff, hunting stuff, all kind of great deals on predator calls. Make your copper tap tags. They're going to be at the Nationals here in a few weeks. More importantly than that, good people. I just found out something about Alan, which is the owner, that I wish I could say publicly, but it would really embarrass him. Because he's done something for no other reason with another person except to be really, really nice. And he put his money where his mouth is. And it's really cool. But that's the type of person you're dealing with. That's the person you want to deal with, is someone like Alan at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. So if you're into hunting, fishing, trapping, predator calling, get yourself a good company. And that's who it is. All right. I want to start with no. Have you ever wondered why marriages, families, boyfriends, girlfriends, countries, counties, UN, everything is so screwed up? Now, we can say it's a bunch of crazy progressives, or they can say it's a bunch of crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists. Whatever it is, when you boil it down, you don't have people that have standards, ethics, or morals, and they don't have the courage to say no. And I've kind of hinted at this in the past because it's so extreme, but you can go, I would go to DuckDuckGo or something else besides Google, because that's just the way Google is. But I want you to imagine being a principal, male or female, and a parent or parents come in and go, we just want to let you know that our daughter now identifies as a cat. And since she's a cat, and that's what she self-identifies as, you need to put a litter box in the bathroom so she can go to the bathroom while she's at school. And can you imagine what's going on with the principal at that time? They're probably looking around, like looking for the camera, because this is a gag, this is a prank. You know, this is some type of TV show. Because I'm sure when a principal's told that they need to put a kitty litter box for a child to take a shit in and have the janitor come by and clean it up and take leaks into in a bathroom, they're like going, what? But that principal did not have the courage to tell parents, no. That's effing crazy. If your child thinks this is okay, that's because y'all are sucky parents and y'all need to go get therapy. Or find this daughter a family that won't teach her to be grow up and act crazy. See, that's what a strong person with moral ethics do. But no, why does the principal go along with this? And why does the poor janitor have to go clean the kitty litter box from a human? Because there could be some blowback, and if you don't have real standards or ethics or morals, you would rather give in and then sit there and take the consequences of crazy people calling you a bigot and a homophobe and a genderphobe and whatever phobe they come up with this week. Not only is it a girl right now in a public school in America, and there's probably more than one, taking a crap in a kitty litter box in a public bathroom. I do know that there is a young man in America, grade school, that identifies as a dog. So when he needs to go to the bathroom, they put a collar on him and they take him outside. When he goes between classes, he's on in hands and knees with a leather collar around his neck with a teacher walking him with a leash to the next class because he identifies as a dog. This is not fiction. This is going on in America today. Why? I mean, again, imagine being a principal. We want you to put a collar on our son and walk him down the hall in what any rational human being would think would be the most humiliating thing that you can come up with, because he thinks he's a dog. Isn't that good? No, it's not fucking good. It's crazy. What is wrong with you? I'm calling child services. That's what should have happened, but no. No moral, no ethics. It doesn't happen. The reason the government is so corrupt is because none of them really have moral or ethics, and none of them have the courage to say no to money. Trying all this green stuff now, while they're skyrocketing gas prices, food's about to get very interesting, folks. Y'all need to think about that, because farmers can't get fertilizer. Fuel cost is through the roof. It's I don't think it's going to be as bad here, but you're going to start hearing in another 6-8 months there's food shortages on famine levels all around the world. It's already happening in Sri Lanka, which most people don't even know where that is. It's a small country. The IMF and the World Economic Forum went to this country about 4 years ago and said, we want you to be the test baby to show how good this new Great Reset and green agenda is. And now those politicians are running for their life and they're resigning, and the country is complete destruction. No fuel, no food, no energy. People are starving in the streets, and jobs are having to let people go home several days a week so they can try to grow their own food. Somewhere in the process, no matter how slick the IMF or the World Economic Forum is talking to the politicians of Sri Lanka, when they start seeing the actual consequences of what they're doing, those leaders didn't have the morals, the ethics, or the courage to say, no, this is crazy. See, no is really powerful. I can tell you from a personal thing that saying no, normally it's because you don't want to offend somebody, which is great. You don't want to hurt someone's feelings. You don't want someone to think that you're selfish, especially if you kind of hint you don't want to do it, then they start really hard selling you and they try to bring guilt and shame and everything that happens, and you don't say no. When I was young in the trapping industry and I started writing a bunch of articles, people started knowing my name. All these states, which I totally understand why they're doing it, they're calling me up trying to get me to the convention, because the more name recognition you have going to trapping conventions, the more people probably come to see this person, watch their demo, talk to them, stuff like that. Great business move on the associations. I was broke. Broke. I mean, just struggling to survive. And now I've got all these states and I feel guilty because I want to help trapping, and they always use it's for the kids, and they use every tactic they can to shame you into spending your money to go to their convention so they can make more money. Which is, when you break it down, that's exactly what it is, even though it sounds harsh when you say it like that. So I'm driving to all these conventions because I didn't want to be the peckerhead and turn these people down because I love trapping. I didn't have the money to go. They're not paying me to go. You got fuel, you got motels, you got extra expensive eating out. All that. Then when you get there, they want you to donate this and donate that and donate this. It about destroyed me when I was young in this industry because I did not have the courage to say no. I don't have that problem now. Because when I started saying no, lo and behold, I wasn't struggling as much because I wasn't spending all my resources on someone else's convention. It was a big lesson to me. If I can afford to go, I'll go. If I can't, I can't. If now it's more of, for me to go do something like that, it's more of, is the 4, 5, 6 days I'm going to be away from my wife worth to me not spending time with my wife for these 4 to 6 days? Because I'm doing okay financially now, so it's not a resource issue. It's a time issue. And so for me to drive 5 states away and spend all this money, and if my wife's got other things going on, we're going to be totally separated, which I was through probably 20 years of our marriage. She was basically a widow because I was on the road all the time. It's got to be a hell of a story and a reason to get me to do that. And I get calls all the time, and the answer is no. And of course, they try to shame, and they try to guilt, and they try to persuade. But the bottom line is, it's not more valuable to me than time with my wife is right now. So no. And I don't get anxious about saying no anymore. I don't get nervous about it. I don't do anything. Another thing about saying no is, for one, people aren't used to hearing that word with adults because people don't have the courage to say it. And men need to have courage, or you're not a man. It lets them know that there are lines, that you're not a pushover, that they just can't shame you into doing whatever you want them to do. You get a lot of respect in the modern world today if you have the courage to say no. My wife tells me no on certain things, and I'm fine with it. I also tell my wife no. Do you want to go? No, not really. I really don't want to go. If it's that important to you that you want me to go do something that I don't want to do, I'll go with you. But I do not enjoy doing that. And 99% of the time, she goes, well, I don't want you to do something you don't enjoy. But what normally happens in a relationship, your brain, when you're asked to do something you don't want to do, oh my God, I don't want to do this. Please don't make me go. Well, honey, you know, I've kind of got, and you start playing this game, then she acts like the lawyer and she tries to tear your story apart, and then you're trying to tear her story where she's tearing your story apart. So somewhere on the end, both of y'all are trying to get to what y'all could have did in 3 seconds. And then you're definitely not going to enjoy going because you feel like you've been forced into it. She's not going to be happy because you're going to be not in the best of moods. So it should have never happened to begin with. No is powerful. In business, super powerful. In a relationship, it's also very powerful. With your friends, it's powerful. Not in a I'm more powerful than you type way, but it's clarity. Because if you try to explain away why you don't want to do something all the time, the most of those excuses don't make any sense to you nor them, and they're going to see right through there. No, bro, just don't want to do it. It's not a good time, not going to do it. Well, what's going on? I just don't want to. I'm not going to. I wish you well, man. Whatever that is. Learn to say no. I'm amazed how many people I've met in the last 5 to 10 years that get paid from 9 to 5, but they have to sleep with their phone Because if the boss has a question at 11 o'clock at night, he expects he can call you up when you're not getting paid and you've got to work for free at that moment. That you know what the answer to that is? No, I'm not leaving my phone on. I'll see you in the morning. Now, at first, that boss is going to get mad. But you know about the only employee that that boss is going to have respect for, if he's a decent boss at all, is the person that told him no. So think about it. In your everyday life, when the no is the right answer, just say no. You know, like when I was growing up, it was just say no about drugs from Nancy Reagan. Just say no. All right, guys, the other thing I want to talk about, which I've been doing a lot of studying on very scientific stuff on fitness with some very complicated books. And it's interesting the way that some of these books are written and kind of what they're, because there's a lot of tests done, not so much in America, but a lot in China, a lot in Russia, a lot in Hungary and Bulgaria and things like that. And there's a reason U.S. weightlifters don't medal very often at all. It's because we're outcoached. And the way that the American weightlifters train is not very efficient at all. And I'm not an Olympic weightlifter, you know, so you can take that with a grain of salt. But they don't build strength to make their movements go easier. And I'm seeing this a lot with social media, because if you break down what people are saying today on social media, a lot of it is about they want you to like them. They want you to think that you agree with them. They're trying to sell you a program. They're trying to sell you supplements. They're trying to sell you anything. So the idea, which is the wrong idea for business in my opinion, but the idea is you try to get as many people on board with whatever it is you're doing so you can try to maximize your money, which is actually not the best way to do it, but that's for another show. So people say what people want to hear. And when new people come into weightlifting, you don't really know what you're doing. You watch people at the gym, you see how a machine works, you know, you've seen bench press on TV, you watch some YouTube videos, whatever it is. And you're figuring all this out. In the first couple of years, you make great gains because everybody does. But you don't really know a whole lot. Then about 3 or 4 years down the road, you're better at working out. You're more attuned. Your body responds better. Your central nervous system is better. All this stuff is better. But the thing that I'm seeing now is lightweight and moving really, really slow. Basically, because influencers know probably 90% of the people that want to get in shape really don't want to go to the gym and they really don't want to work. This is why it's such a common practice now for high schoolers to be on steroids. You want the results, but you don't want to work for it. And influencers know this. So they're trying to get the mass amount of people they can. So they come up with ways and they find a study that says this, or they use a principle called time under tension, and they narrate this story that you can get stronger and get bigger if you use really lightweight and you move it really slow. And there's some studies on just pure hypertrophy that time under tension will help with that. So if you're going really slow, you're going to be holding the weight a lot longer. So yes, you do have time under tension. But what are you training your body to do? Be very slow. So I don't know if it's a vet thing. I've talked to one of my neighbors that is a sheriff. He used to work narcotics. And we found out that we kind of have the same dreams. It's really weird. One of them is you got to pull the trigger on a gun and the bullet just falls out the end. It's jammed. You can't clean it. Something's going wrong. You wake, you know, at today's age, you wake up, you're going back to, for some reason, forced to go back in the military or the police service. Your uniforms don't fit. You don't know where your gear's at. It's very stressful. You show up, you don't know any of the new acronyms. And the other one is you move really slow and you can't do what your brain's telling you to do in these dreams. And it's a very scary dream. And I've talked to some other veterans, and it's a common, these three type dreams are very common with people that's been to combat and been in very stressful type environments, like being a sheriff or narcotics or SWAT or anything like that. So I want you to picture something so basic. So if you train your muscles to be slow, when you go to use those muscles, they're going to be slow. So you're helping carry a couch and it slips. And your muscles are all trained on being super balanced, super slow, and very lightweight. No jerking, no anything. And all of a sudden now you've got your hands on a couch and it slips and you've got to grab it real quick. And it's you want, and people go, I don't understand. I go lift weights and I tore my bicep carrying a couch. Because you trained your muscle to do that. Now, what is worse for a grown man, because one of your jobs is to be a protector, if you have to lay hands on somebody else because they're trying to do you or your family harm, and you've trained your body to be slow, because you bought into this lightweight, super slow, negative and positives. And you think that you're going to be fast in a fight. You're not. It's what I'm trying to say is, when you train your body this way, there's no practical application outside of just lifting a weight that way. If your foot slides and you have to like really tense up really fast, stuff's going to tear because you've trained it to be under such control all the time, which is part of the reason I think strongman exercises put into workouts are so important. But if you want to train your body to be actually functional in life, go back and watch Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the 70s when he was lifting for Mr. Olympia. There was nothing slow about what Arnold did. Now go back and watch 2002 bodybuilders and you're going to find all these dudes doing really slow stuff. If you don't know who it is, Branch Warren is a professional bodybuilder now retired out of Texas. You can just watch him train, whatever. There's nothing slow about what that man did. He cheated a lot in those terms that weightlifters use. He had a lot of body movement. He's moving a lot bigger weight. And it was not slow. He was training his body to be explosive. See, this is why it's important. Someone that trains their muscles to be slow and they go to hit somebody, it's going to be really slow. Someone that trains to be explosive, when they pop somebody, it's really fast and it's got a lot of energy behind it. But someone that's only trained their muscles to go in this slow contraction, that's all your body's going to be able to do. Because you've trained it that way. So my recommendation, and you're getting free information now because you don't pay for this podcast, and think about it, you get what you pay for. Train your body to explode, because in real world situations, whatever that is, like we were on a raft up yesterday, a guy drank way too much out in the water on a boat. He was a diver when he was younger. He was much older now. decided he was just going to swim. Well, we look over and he's got like one hand sticking out of the water because he can't stay up. So you have to move fast and grab people sometimes in real life because they need you to. You see your kid falling, you have to be able to move. Your wife is slipping so you can catch her. You got to be able to move with speed, and you don't want to hurt yourself in the process. So my recommendation is when you're lifting weights, now if you're when you're just warming up, you don't do this, but when you have a lot of blood in your muscles and you're starting to get weight on a bar, I'm going to use something as simple as a bench press because everybody knows what that is. When you come down with the bar, have it under control, like real control. It doesn't have to be 4 seconds or anything, but come down with control. Now when that touches below your nipples and it's time to push, you try to drive that bar through the ceiling. Now as you get heavier, it's still gonna look really slow. So if you put 350 pounds on a bench press on me, it's not super fast. I'm still trying to push it as fast as I can. My muscles don't know the difference. I can also take 350 pounds on a bench and do it slow because I've tried this to see a muscle connection or anything like that. And I don't think you get as good as muscle contraction that way because that's not really how it's designed to be built. And fast twitch muscles is what you're training in that. Actually, there's more of them and they grow bigger. Slow moving stuff is for endurance, and they're not as many and they don't grow as much. So if you're trying to get bigger, why would you train something that you're already at a disadvantage? So when you're bench pressing, come down in good control and push it up. Some of the best bench pressers in the world do something called dynamic method. Some with free weights, some with free weights and bands, some with chains. And you can look this up online and see what this is. So if you're bench pressing 300 pounds, that's your max, you're probably only going to have 135 pounds on a bar with or without bands to get you to that weight. And you bring it down and you push it up as fast as you can for sets of twos and threes. Not 10, but sets of twos and threes. And you do it as fast as you can. And the next week you'll go up 5%, the next week you'll go up 5%. And then you'll drop back down to the second one. And there's a whole thing that you can learn from a lot of books out there on waving, stuff like that. But 135 on a bench, if you bench 300 pounds, is nothing. You go to move it really fast, it becomes something actually pretty heavy because you're putting 300 pounds of effort into 135 pounds. And you're training your muscles to be able to fire. Now what that does is when you need strength, real strength, your muscles are trained to push fast and hard. Even if it's heavy and it's slow, when you see somebody do this, if they're using heavy weight, they're still pushing really fast to explode. Again, it's for being practical in the real world. There's a video that I saw on Instagram that was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen for bodybuilders. Somehow the camera was on this guy in a stand of a baseball game, and he was jacked. Big arms, big chest, big shoulders. And he physically, it took him a long time to open a water bottle while he was on camera. And of course, the announcers are making fun of this big muscle guy because the girl next to him could open her water bottle. All those big muscles trained the wrong way are useless except for looks. Now, if you want to be a Ferrari, with a Volkswagen Bug motor in it, that's the way you train. You look like something, but you're not. People may think you can do stuff, but you can't. And in real life, when stuff comes up, you look very foolish because you can't actually do what the car looks like it should do. You don't have twin turbo V10 in your Ferrari. You got a little bitty 1600cc Volkswagen Bug air cooled that's got about 60 horsepower. You can put the mufflers on there and make it sound good, but it ain't doing nothing. I don't think that's really why people, especially older, get into weightlifting, is to look like a Ferrari with a junky, slow, underpowered motor. And I'm sure there's people that are vain, that are my age, that's what they're going for. But down deep, I think most people want to be functional. And they don't want to get injured. Now, I know that the influencers now that are would, if they heard what I just said, would go, oh no, light weights, little injury. Big weights, big injury. What a crock of crap. They're selling to people that are lazy and don't want to work out, and they're trying to figure a way to get money from them. There's not a grown man listening to me right now that doesn't have the capacity to be benching between 300 and 400 pounds. There's girls that bench 300 pounds. Girls. Little girls, actually. There's little girls that you can go watch hundreds of them online that deadlift more than most grown men can lift when they're 50 years old. I mean, these girls are knocking out 500 and 600 pounds. Girls. And we got grown men that look like they're gorillas, but they're really spider monkeys with a bunch of add-ons. So just keep this in mind. However you're training is how your body's going to adapt and how your body's going to be able to do something. If you're in a fight with a bodybuilder, just move around a little bit. I mean, like a real jacked up professional bodybuilder, just move around a little bit. Keep off to his side, sidestepping. If he goes to throw a punch, you got about 45 seconds before the thing lands. If he grabs you, everything has been so perfect gym-wise that if you lean away from him or to the side, he's going to try to muscle you up like a perfectly balanced dumbbell or a barbell, and he's going to really, really struggle with all that muscle because he's trained himself to be a Ferrari with a little bitty motor. I'd rather be more of a mid-range car with a freaking 900 horsepower motor. Maybe that's just me. So wherever it is that you're at, think about what it is that you're trying to do. What is your goal? The stronger a person is, the less likely he is to get injured. The stronger a person is, study after study after study has shown the mortality rates go way down. I've been with people on a gun range that I'm trying to show how to shoot, and they don't have the physical strength to pull back a slide on a 9mm. So I have to change technique to get them to hold the slide with their left hand, keep the gun close to them, and push out with their right hand. And if they can physically hold the slide and push, most people at that point, no matter how weak they are, can cycle the gun to get around in the chamber. I'm talking women and men have a hard time, because I've seen it several times, just to something as simple as a 9mm. We're not talking about, you know, racking a 50 cal. We're talking about a 9mm. They can't work the safeties with their fingers because their fingers are too weak. Men and women. Don't be that person. There's no reason to be that person. So just think about why you're training and how you actually accomplish those goals instead of just listening to influencers because they look like they know what they're doing, because they're probably on a bunch of gear, they eat like a crazy person where they never enjoy anything, and they're always pumped up in the perfect light to get these videos. Just because you see that doesn't mean they know what they're doing. Now, the last thing I want to tell you all about is I got a new toy in the gym from Iron Mind. And it's a hand grip machine, which I've wanted one for a couple of years, and I finally pulled the trigger because it seems expensive for what it is. When I got it in the gym, I was like, this is freaking awesome. What it is, let's see, I've got a catalog here if I can find it. I don't really know what the name of it is. But you put plates on it's got a floor piece, and then it's got a tube coming up that you can put plates on, and it looks like an upside down U, and you put the plates on there, and the top of the U of this thing is solid, but you put your fingers on another little rod under there, and you squeeze it with your hands. You can do one hand or two hands. You can do individual fingers. You can have your thumb over or on it. Iron Mind, if you just go online, you can see what I'm talking about. But if you're looking to have good hand strength, holy cow, this is much better than the grippers. This is much better than doing wrist curls and stuff like that. Because you can put, I think it would probably hold 6 plates, 45-pound plates, that you could move with your fingers. 3 plates, 3 45-pound plates is about all that I can do for 10 reps. I'm only doing it like 3 times a week, because until you get your forearms and your fingers used to moving that kind of weight, you don't want to, you know, overuse anything. But if you're looking for something for hand strength, I think this thing costs like $229 or something. When you go to grab something or somebody with a handshake, or you need to actually grab somebody, put hands on somebody, my God, you're going to be leaving bruises if you want to. You need to grab somebody's wrist. You own them. When you meet another man and you look each other in the eye and you shake their hand and you got chunks of meat on your hand, and when you just give a tight squeeze and they know you're not really squeezing but it feels like a vice, that's called respect from men to men. You know you're not dealing with somebody that can't take a safety off a 9mm with their finger. But I've only had this thing for, this is my 3rd week, and I have to admit that it's really, really cool. And if you know how to weld, it's super simple to build, and you could make one yourself for probably $40 of metal, even at today's prices. So there you go, guys. Learn to say no and have a reason and understand what you're doing in your workouts and what is the purpose of them. And if you want to have gorilla hands when you need to grab something, I would definitely look at the Iron Mind, where you do the plate raises with your fingers. Because it's that's not a waste of money. All right, and I'll see y'all later. Talk to you. Bye.